And the road ahead in Iraq is also strewn with challenges. We got another reminder yesterday when a series of bombs in Baghdad killed more than 120 people. Along with bringing the violence under control, the country must also rebuild its economy. Iraq still depends heavily on oil revenue. Most jobs still come from the government and not the private sector. And there, in the private sector, business people complain of so much red tape, it's throttling efforts to start new businesses. NPR's Corey Flintoff begins his story on the floor of the stock exchange.
This is the nerve center of capitalism in Baghdad, the Iraqi Stock Exchange. At 11 o'clock in the morning, the trading floor is packed with men watching the progress of their shares on widescreen TVs. The director of the exchange, Taha Abdusalam, is proud of his operation. It's still small, with just over 70 companies traded on volume worth about $2 million a day. But that's a big leap from the first session in 2004, when around $150,000 changed hands and prices were scrawled on the board by hand. Abdusalam wants to keep up that growth, but he's got a problem. It's very hard to bring new businesses onto the exchange because very few are being formed. He says one major problem is unclear and unnecessarily complex regulation.
How can you invite people to invest in your country? By preparing them very clear regulation.
Right now, that regulation is anything but clear.
To start a new business takes 11 procedures at 11 different ministries.
That's Frank Gunter, a professor of economics at Lehigh University.
It requires, on average, if you know what you're doing, if you have good legal advice, it takes 77 days, and it costs about $2,800.
Gunter studied Iraq's business climate as the senior civilian economic advisor to the U.S. military in Iraq from 2008 to 2009. He cites a recent study by the World Bank that measures the cost and ease of starting a business in 183 countries. Iraq scored close to the bottom at 153. Gunter argues that support for private business is a national security issue for Iraq. Here's why. The Iraqi government now provides jobs, either directly or indirectly, for about 50% of the workforce. That was at least temporarily affordable when Iraq's revenues were fattened by high oil prices. Now, with prices down, Gunter says the situation will get worse because each year about 250,000 young Iraqis enter the job market.
If they don't find jobs, then these young Iraqis, mostly men, mostly young, mostly uneducated, becomes a recruiting pool for the gangs, the criminal gangs, for the insurgency, for the militias that work for the religious and the political groups.
Gunter says Iraq's business climate contributes to its other major problem, corruption. In a recent survey by Transparency International, Iraq ranked fifth from the bottom, making it one of the most corrupt countries in the world.
It's because the regulatory environment is so hostile, it forces businesses to be corrupt to survive. Some of the survey data we did in Iraq shows that many small businesses pay 20 or 40% of all their cost is in bribes.
Gunter says one step in the right direction would be for Iraq to adopt a commercial code more like those of Saudi Arabia or Kuwait, which rank in the top third of business-friendly countries. Iraq's planning minister, Dr. Ali Baban, says he's not ready to accept Professor Gunter's diagnosis that Iraq's economy is on the brink of collapse. But he admits the situation is dire. Baban says that unless the government hurries to support the productive sectors, industry and agriculture, it will be in a situation that, in his words, no one will envy. Gunter says he's not without hope. His time in Iraq has taught him respect for the country's entrepreneurial tradition.
I argue that anybody who can survive as a small businessman in the underground economy in Baghdad is the ultimate entrepreneur.
Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Baghdad.